for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 23rd, 2012, Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Kingdom Church, Part 2.
Greetings. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Welcome to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. This will be our part two on the Kingdom Church. I've endeavored to bring about some principles in the Kingdom that obviously the Church has not been awakened to, because if she was, she would come out of carnality, from the pulpit to the pew, and begin to walk as a righteous person instead of an unrighteous person. Behold, the Lord would say unto thee that this is the time of great intensity, saith the Lord. Yea, saith God, had I not told Abraham, but for 50 people I would spare the nation. Yea, are thou not more than 50 in your nation, saith the Lord. There will come great times of calamity and chaos, saith God. But know that in the midst of thee, I will be the righteous king. For I am coming, saith the Lord, and I'm coming soon. And I'm bringing a sword of the Spirit, and I shall bring vengeance upon all those that offend my children, saith the Lord. For I shall encompass you, saith the Lord, with the spirit of my, the wings of my spirit, saith God, and every place that your feet shall tread, saith the Lord, I will give you divine favor, and I will give you victory. Look not to your left, look not to your right, be not dismayed by the economical structure, saith the Lord, but look unto me, for I am still Jehovah Rapha, and I am still Jehovah Jireh, and I'm still Jehovah Tiskanu, I'm still Jehovah Makedesh, I am all these things, I'm Jehovah Ra, I am the Lord of Sabaoth, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I come with a vesture upon me saying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look up and draw nigh, saith the Lord, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God shall prevail, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Say, blessed be God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The Lord God. He is one God. There is none like Him. He is the all-consuming fire. He reigns and He rules in my life. I've got a king in me. I am a son and a daughter of the living God. I'm serving a living king. I'm not under tyrants. I'm not under control. I'm not under manipulators. I'm not under controllers. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Lord. Lord, He is my heavenly Father. He is my heavenly provider. There is none like Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, this is my best shot. I got to give it to you and run. So if you have your Bibles, I want to just reiterate just for a moment, for those of you who were not paying attention, I talked last night briefly about a descriptive kingdom, and we used Daniel 2:44, that it will become a kingdom with no end, and that it will stand forever. And we talked briefly also about the second thing, about a diversified kingdom, that we have been translated from a kingdom of darkness into light. Yes. People of God, there is absolutely no excuse why a Bible-toting, Bible-believing, blood-redeemed person, child of God, has been walking in darkness. Because if you're ignorant of the things of God, it is not the preacher's fault. It is not the apostle's fault. It's not the prophet's fault. It's absolutely the thing that lies between your ear called the unrenewed mind. You're uncircumcised in your thinking. You have become Americanized. You've become institutionalized by a pagan Christianity and a pagan religion that has absolutely flooded our land. We have to stand up for righteousness, and we're going to have to take this country back one at a time, inch by inch and mile by mile. It does not belong to the pagans. It belongs to the Almighty God. America is the New Jerusalem. We are the spiritual Israelites of God, and therefore we are marching on. We belong to the Lion of Judah, and there is none like Him. He is roaring throughout our land. He is roaring throughout our country, and He can be found when you come up before God and you pray in His precious name. The Bible said, wherever you are, He is in the midst of you. Can I get an amen in this church today? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I want to bring you back to some kingdom principles that perhaps have escaped your thinking. You go back, just paraphrasing, in Exodus 3, we find that there's a man called, I'm going to get to Hebrews 12, a man called Moses. Everybody say, Moses.
Moses.
His name in Hebrew means drawn. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. You know the story. Little baby Moses floating down the river. And what a marvelous little story we do with that. But Moses grew up to be a man, and Moses was a conqueror. He had leadership inside of him. And one fine day, on a Sunday afternoon, when everybody was watching the New Orleans Saints being beat, Moses is standing by the side, and there's a bush. And it appeared like though it was burning, but yet it was not burning. This was the first encounter that God had an opportunity to come to a man and stand in His sovereignty and stand behind a bush and say to him, call him twice, double enunciation, Moses, Moses. And standing behind this bush is the flaming fire of God. And the Bible said that the flame went on, but the bush did not burn. And there, supernaturally, God made known to Moses His ability to conquer and to walk as a king, as a priest and prophet in the Old Testament writings. And see, when I talk about diversified thing, I think that what has happened to the church in the 21st century, we've divided ourselves from Old Testament and New Testament believers. There's no such thing. The Bible is a complete book. There are 66 chapters in the Bible. If God said, behold, I am the Lord God, I am one, His Word is one. Amen? And so there Moses begins to hear God for himself, and he has the ability to lead a nation. Everybody say nation. If you look among you today, among the church that's sitting here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, there are many nations being represented here. And Moses saw something, and he began to talk to him, and he says, Lord, who, when he says, I am that I am, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him, I am that I am. Well, if you transcribe that in the Hebrew language, it means, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Isn't that awesome? That's who I am, Moses. And we see this perfect picture and the tabernacle, how God sets up the tabernacle of Moses, and it has three dimensions. Are you with me? But what the church world has done with it, they've divided Christians into three groups. The born again, the spirit filled, and those that don't know what they're filled with. Okay, you got the brazen altar, you have the holy place, and you have the holy of holies. Holy of holies is where you have one-on-one encounter with God. And the only light in the Holy of Holies was a supernatural light. It is the same light, it is the same flame, it is the same fire that was burning when Moses was looking at the bush. I was preaching in the church in North Louisiana, and they had a replica of the tabernacle of Moses set up in this church. And Brother Kevin, I was so excited. I'm run up into that Holy of Holies. I bypass being born again, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to get where God is. And right inside that tent, they had a cross member, and I never saw it. And I just plastered that thing right home.
down. I fell to the floor. I said, oh God, I didn't know you were that powerful. And I began to feel I had cut my forehead from one end to the other. Now I am up to preach. And I get up there and I keep wiping, calling my forehead because I've got blood on it. And the preacher said, what happened to you? He said, man, I went to the Holy of Holies. And I said, Rich, God knocked me over. He said, oh, I know what happened to you. You hid that cross member that was in there. I said, how come you didn't tell me? He said, you didn't wait for anybody to tell you anything. I was so excited because they had a replica of the Ark of the Covenant sitting in that Holy of Holies. And the presence of God. Now, this is just articles, man-made substance. But the presence of God was so real. And for that moment, I felt something move in my spirit. And I began to realize there was more to God than what I had been taught. Are you sensing since last night, there's more to God than what you've been told? Are you realizing there's more to God than just religion? 3 points of song and a benediction. God is diverse. God is even in multiplicity. I'm sorry, honey, I had to say that word. That's my wife's message. She couldn't come today. But anyway, so I was wondering as we talk today on our third point about kingdom perspective, just what is our perspective of having kingdom understanding? I could take you to Exodus 30 and show you that the 5 main ingredients that God spoke to Moses about establishing in the tabernacle have reference to the Ephesians 4:11 fivefold ministry. And I can take you to the place where all these spices in the scripture represent every office of God, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So coming to the New Testament revelation, this was not just a New Testament revelation for Paul the apostle. He learned this from these old boys that had taught him and his forefathers about the tabernacle of Moses, then the tabernacle of David, and progressively coming into the temple of Solomon. We didn't show up here by mere accident. We have been walking with God for a long time.
Amen.
And it's taken God over 2,000 years to get the church in a position, whether we like it or not, to begin to realize that we're now in a position that we have to listen to God. Because religion has done absolutely nothing but absolutely raped us, discouraged us, disappointed us, has stolen from us, and used us. But I've got news for you this morning. That's a king on the horizon. And he's looking for whosoever will call upon the name of Jesus, or whosoever will call upon the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, whosoever will call upon the Lord of Lords, and he will appear to them. Now you're going to have to remove your little finite mind and say, God, would you actually appear to me? Absolutely. You don't have to hit your head over a crossbar. Get it? We see this translation coming from a mosaic to a Joshua generation. Give me a little time to build this morning. We move into a Joshua generation, and now Joshua takes up from where Moses left off. Are you with me? And he begins to do the things that Moses did, but in another dimension. And so what the church had done, they parked on a Joshua generation. We are not the Joshua generation. We are the generation of Benjamites. We are the son of his right hand. And we're seated in Christ on the right hand of the Father. Are you with me? Say, I'm seated.
I'm seated.
I'm not slumped back. I'm seated. In an upright position. In the anointing of Christ. And Christ is in me. And I'm in Christ. The hope of glory. Somebody say, I have hope.
I have hope.
You're getting it. Act like you're getting it. You got it? Act like you got it. So, in Hebrews 12, say amen. You should be there by now.
Amen.
Under the kingdom perspective, I want to talk about a kingdom in plain view. How many of you know that I like things plain? Hello? Hello? You like it plain or you like it complicated? I like it plain. That's why I still like plain vanilla on a cone. Last night I had the Mac burger.
Thank you, Sister Carla. That was a blessing. Hebrews 12:18. I didn't want everybody to know you bought, paid for it, but here it is.
For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. That was Mount Sinai. It means thorny. Okay? The law. And burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated the word, should not be spoken to them anymore. Do you know that there are people in this present day reality church that are afraid of the prophetic message?
I got one somebody. One somebody say amen here. The rest of you don't know what you want to say. Amen to me.
Because what the prophetic is doing is shifting us out of an institutionalized church like we talked about last night, and out of the realm of carnality unto a realm where we have no other way to walk and but no other thing to do but to trust the Holy God. And we give Him full kingship and rule over our lives. So we got rid of our little genie. Genie, Jesus, Jesus, do this, Jesus, do that, Jesus, do this. I was talking to the Lord about that one and He said, hogwash.
And you know Jews don't eat hogs.
You'll get this down the road, just bear with me. So, we come to a place where in verse 20 says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. If we're preparing to be a present reality, updated 2012 Kingdom Church, we're going to have to buckle up and find out what we're made out of and in whom we believe. So you've trusted the prophets of old and they stole all your money. And all you got left is a loaf of bread and a little bit of money. And I know I sound like a poet and I don't know it. But if you've trusted in some of these gurus, they have robbed you and they're robbers and thieves in our love feast. Because they don't have the truth. Jesus never preached to get money out of people. But He was a blessing to them. Even though He had no problem with money. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe in poor preachers. I couldn't put gas in my car to get back to Louisiana on my good looks. Thank you for all those amens. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, what is the beast? The old Adamic nature. The old man.
You prefer that? Now, ladies, you know when you've been married a long time, you say, this is my old man. How did you like when your wife said, this is my old lady? That doesn't work very well for me in my house. Honey, I know you're listening. I still treat my wife as a lady, and she reminds me. And of you who know Sister Diane will say amen to that.
And the mountain shall be stoned or thrust that with a door. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come.
Everybody say, you're come. I don't have time to develop every word.
But you're come to Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God. How many of you know your God's living? A heavenly what? Jerusalem. Watch this. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. You're not the church sitting on the corner. You're not secondborn. You're not leftover. You're not run over. Which are written in heaven. And to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, everybody say Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling and speaking better things than that of Abel. Kingdom in plain view. It's obvious by the Old Testament writing that the only thing that Moses could do was to project the dispensation of law. Are you with me? But Moses had a measure of grace. He understood the law and the oracles of God, but he also understood the grace of God. How many of you can say today, God has been merciful and graceful to me? In John 1:17, it said, now the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, the heavenly Jerusalem. And there are two different types of Mount Sinai. One Mount Sinai was the law. The other one is New Jerusalem coming down.
Church, we're not going out. We're going up. Are you with me? We're not shut out. We're just bought out. We've been bought by the blood. And we have to be sold out to find out what God wants us to do. Now, y'all listen fast because we need to move on a little bit quicker this morning. So Mount Sinai speaks of a heavenly Jerusalem. And said, but you are come, not going to come, come into a now present reality kingdom. Do you believe that there are still scholars and theologians preaching in the country that the kingdom will come? They do not preach a kingdom now. I had a preacher tell me after service, he said, don't you ever come back to my church and preach kingdom now. He said, we believe in the kingdom's coming. I said, really? You believe in you're going to get saved? Are you saved already? And salvation is progressive. How many of you know a little bit more now than you did when you first got started? How many of you like to say amen, not say oh me? And so we notice here, under the kingdom perspective, the kingdom is good news. Is it good news? Did y'all sleep last night? I know y'all got more sleep than me. I mean, Carla Buthar talked my ears off. It was about 12 o'clock. She said, no, you did. I said, that's right, I did. She was gracious. She let me have the floor. I did all the talking. And she kept saying, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. And I probably think, I read on her forehead, would you shut up and go to bed? We happen to be neighbors. I live in the yellow room and she lives next door. She lives in a very interesting room. That's where old Jack Harris used to park. And I'm just waiting for that anointing to just jump right all over Carla. She get up here and say, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Most of you don't know who Jack Harris is, and that's okay. He's a great old prophet from Texas. Great, great, great man of God. Learned a lot from Brother Jack. The fourth concept we have to talk here about is the kingdom spirit. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to inject some thoughts that perhaps you've looked at in times past, just in a little different way. Say, different way. We mentioned last night when Jesus had encountered Nicodemus, Nick at night, you know, he was sneaking up. He's like a religious leader. He didn't want ever his constituents to know what he's really doing at night, right, Richard? You see, he's Baptist, but he's going to go to the Holy Ghost Church down the road. He didn't want everybody to know they speak in that gibberish. See, I was raised Catholic, so I didn't have that kind of opportunity. We thought we was right, and we were it. The rest of y'all had no hope. But what a rude awakening I had when Jesus arrested me. I told you about the time he came to me like a bolt of lightning, but I never did tell you that I heard God speak to me audibly twice when I was lost. There wasn't no demon. And it's interesting that it was every time that little Shetland pony threw me, I landed by this great big oak tree, brother. It was strange. And the voice of God came to me twice. I ran up to, who do you trust more than you, Mama? I ran up to Mama and said, Mama, Mama, Mama. I heard God speak to me. She said, son, God can't speak to you. She said, you're not a priest. I said, Mama, I know what I was saying. I never heard pure words like that in all my life. She said, well, what did he say? I said, he called me. He said, I'm calling you to preach. I'm calling you to come forth. I said, come forth and do what? So she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to leave the Catholic Church. She said, oh, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. Now, and it was a little while longer till I went through some stuff and I needed a Savior. And Jesus came right in the midst of my problems and my sorrows. And I saw this happening in the life of Nicodemus. Though he was a religious leader, he had a little nudging. You ever have those little nudgings? That there was something more than what you were receiving. And isn't it a little disheartening when you go to the pastor and the pastor can't give you more than what you already got? Am I talking to the right church? Did I get translated to some other planet? Or did you have one of these pastors, oh, you can't speak in tongues. That's not for today. That went away with the days of the apostles. That's from the devil. My wife was raised in Baptist church, played piano. Her daddy was a deacon. And when I met her, she had an unquenchable thirst for the Holy Ghost. Did I tell you how we met? We met at Bible college and I almost flunked my Psalms class. And I couldn't tell if I was in love or in lust. Y'all won't tell the truth like that. You want to be holy. And 30-something years later, we're still together. And all these years, she'd go to the preacher and the preacher said, well, that's not for today. She'd go back to the Word. She said, but it's in the Bible. And she'd go back to the preacher. She said, it's not for today. She said, but it's in the Bible. And we back then, we had those 33 albums, you know, record album. They had one guy who prayed in tongues while he was playing the piano and sang. We absolutely wore the needle off of that thing. 3 years in process, and then she got the Holy Ghost. And she's been on fire ever since. Hallelujah. I remember years ago when we came here and we did this project called He Is. We had Wade Jones used to come to this camp, and we had him dressed as a king with a robe, and I made this big white horse out of wood and painted it white, and we had all these kids dressed in white robes. And we made the band as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I got up there that night and I didn't have not nigh one note. And the Lord said, preach, He is. I got up there and rolled that paper back on Revelation 19 and I preached my heart out. And I said, boy, was that ever good or what? I said, I ain't never had a good message like that. I said, it came right out of my spirit. My wife says, you know, you've been pretty good. If you just stick with it long enough, you just might end up being a good preacher. We encourage one another. You wouldn't believe that by the way I sound, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 3. I'm just letting you get comfortable. Paul is now dealing with the church at Corinth, and they're in the church at Corinth, presently very familiar with the 21st century church. There are a lot of gifts and talents at the church. But, you know, there's also a lot of hanky-panky. That's Greek for fooling around. So do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistle, commend to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And I thought, if we are really kingdom people, can people really read what is in our hearts? Or do we have to continue to walk with this facade and pretend to be a great Christian? For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, the anointed one, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart, and such trust have we got through Christ to Godward. Drop to verse 6. Who had made us, this is what you made out of, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. Say that loud. Life. Say life. Life. Say it again. Life. Life. I'm not talking about life cereal. Life. Life. Zoe. Life. God life. Say God life. Life. To try to follow the letter of the Word of God without the Spirit is absolutely futile. Paul says, do we need letters of recommendation? Does not our spirit bear witness with your spirit? Does your spirit bear witness what we've been preached to you last night and what's been preached to you this morning? Just because you can't take a bunch of words and gather them together and say it like somebody else, does your spirit have a witness? The Corinthian church that Paul was referring to in the book of Corinthians, they were destitute and insecure and absolutely dependent upon the letter of the word. I'll never forget, in charismatic church, I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in the space of 3 weeks. Got the whole bag. And they had a coffee shop ministry. Now, have you noticed how coffee shop ministries have become big in the mega churches? They spend more time in the coffee shop than they do in the letter of the word. They do. The preacher's preaching his heart and everybody's sitting in the coffee shop fellowshipping. The Jewish people understood the written oracles. And the difference between the Jew and the New Testament believers is they were led by the oracles and the customs of God. We are led by the Spirit. Now, let me show you something. He said we're known and read of men spirit to spirit. No man by, we don't know anybody by the flesh. and said, you are our epistles written in our hearts. Look at your neighbor and said, do I look like a book? Do you look like a book? No, you don't look like a book. But you are an epistle of God, a living epistle. And that which you do is visible. See, everything in the kingdom of God, everything that is made in the heavens is known on the earth. What is invisible becomes visible. But we have to take the invisible and bring it to the visible. Doubting Thomas. He saw Jesus. But he said that yes, he could touch the side of his side and see the nail prints in his wrist. He would not believe. And we call ourselves people walking by the Spirit. Everything that we do tells us, according to the Word of God, we are His able ministers. A killing letter or a living spirit? Which one do you want? How do you do that? You can quote the Bible and be as dumb as the knob on the door. But if you will take time to train your spirit man and put the Word of God inside of it, when God whispers it to you, you move. You remember the old British, the Minutemen? At a moment's time, they were armed and ready to what? Move forward. Here's what I want you to see. We're living in an hour that God is training His people to begin not to move so much by letter. Now, He is going to confirm His Word to move by the Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you have to train yourself to hear His voice. And to do that, you may have to turn off some of your favorite preachers on TV.
Amen.
And get back to old knee-bone prayer.
Amen.
And begin to seek His face. And stay there until you hear Him.
Amen.
Instead of having to wait for 3 or 4 confirmations, I traveled for a couple of years, and I found in traveling that God had given me a gift of prophecy that didn't make me a prophet. And I could prophesy to 200 or 300 people and never say the same thing to them, to what? Same person. It was not repeated. And boy, I mean, I was just growing. On the road, people wanted me to come, wanted me to do this. And boy, after about a year, Brother Kevin, it just was just growing. I said, man, there's something to this. And right after that, God tells me, he says, I'm on the top of Missouri. Anybody from Missouri? I'm on top of a mountain in Missouri. Somewhere, I forget what part of Missouri I was in, but I'm going up on top of this mountain, and God just rescued me. And I look in the back seat, and Jesus is sitting in the seat of my car, and He says, I'm going to take you back full circle. I said, what does that mean? I need definition. I'm Western culture. I need a definition. Full circle. What does that mean? I'm country boy. I'm a little slow. Just God, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dozen. What does that mean? And immediately when I got home, my itinerary began to just disappear. And the preachers would say, well, the last time you came, you prophesied to everybody, brother. But you see, the last time you came to our church, the time before you prophesied to everybody. But the last time you came, you didn't prophesy to anybody. So we can't have you back. You know, what? Now, I'm thinking, I'm a failure. I only said what I heard. And I thought, Lord, am I kingdom-minded or I'm stupid-minded? He said, you're kingdom-minded. I said, well, prove to me that I'm kingdom-minded. He said, what did I tell you in the book of John, chapter 8? I only do what I hear my... And I only do what I see Him do, and only say what I hear Him say. He said, if you can learn that principle, you can walk with me anywhere in this world. But here's what you're going to have to overcome. If you're going to really want to become kingdom people and establish a kingdom church, you're going to have to be ready to be persecuted by the carnal church, by the institutionalized church, and there's an emerging church in our country, and it ain't from God.
That's right.
Because the religious hierarchy of this country and the spirit's ruling of our country are going to absolutely put you to the test. So you better know. You better buckle up, get up, shut up, and move out. Because they're going to be coming against you. They came against Paul in his day. What makes you think they're not going to come against us? You might say, oh me. Let's talk about another concept. Let's talk a little bit about walking in a progressive kingdom. Go with me to Genesis 12. Everybody knows the story of Abraham. Do you really? Have you experienced what Abraham experienced? Does God call you his friend? Can he trust you with what he gives you? Do you share it with your children? Are you willing to go to the nations of the world? Are you happy about leaving your comfort zone? Hey man, I could be eating turkey at home right now. And watching, well, that was yesterday, today's Friday. I'm watching the football game. Commitment. I think we're coming into a kingdom age where we need to redefine our commitments. You see, if you've got a revelation, the only thing that keeps you from fulfilling your revelation is your commitment. If God gave you a revelation about something in His kingdom and you've not been able to fulfill it, probably you lack somewhere in your life commitment. Let me take it this way. Let's go back to the political arena. If you support somebody in the political arena and you prayed your prayer, and after you prayed your prayer, you wash your hands from it, and the race is run, and Jack Brown comes out dead last, but he's supposed to win. What happened? Somewhere you gave up. When we begin to pray and bombard heaven, we don't turn loose till we get answers. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Listen, I know he kind of twisted it and turned it a little bit this morning. I'm just not shouting and spitting on you like I did last night. But the kingdom of God is alive and is doing well. And God is looking through His great army for whomsoever will stand up like righteous Abram and say, I will stand for my nation if I am the only person that stands. But what's going to happen in this kingdom perspective and kingdom arena is that you may have to get rid of some of the Lots in your life. Lot was the nephew of Abram, and he was brought along on this journey without divine permission. And some of us have been chosen family members. We absolutely be hog-tying them and dragging them on the bumper of the car, taking them to church every Sunday, and they're no less a devil now than when you started taking them to church. Because you did not hear from God. You heard through your conscience and your reason and your logic. You try to force somebody to do something that was not that will to do. What did he tell Abram? Are you in Genesis 12? Very simple. Now is a what? Present reality word. Now. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. How many things did he tell him? Get out. Right? From where? Your country, your comfort zone. Your famous church. And from your king folks. Look at your name and say, that means your kin folks. And from your father's house unto a land undiscovered that I will reveal to you. After my 5 years of sabbatical, the Lord said, now go back and rebirth the church. I said, I'm not having devil. You're a liar. I'm not doing this. I'm bummed out. I'm shut out. I'm blown out. I'm burnt out. I'm stuck out. I'm had it. Then all of a sudden, vision came. You know what it reminds me of? Can I draw a graphic picture in your life? These Roman candles that they blow. Go, and you look up in the air and they go. The whole sky was dark. And all of a sudden this spark of light and rays just falling all over. Mary and Bill took us out a few years ago to watch the fireworks on the lake. And we had little Hannah with us. And she just going, oh, Dad. We videoed. She said, did you see that? And God spoke to me while I'm sitting in the boat. I'm going, oh God. He said, we are rays of light in a dark and dying world. To some folks, you are the only epistle that they will ever read. He says, I will show you. Abraham had no idea where he was going. Hello? Nobody texted him. Nobody called him and left a message on his phone. He wasn't in a bad area where he couldn't get any reception. Nobody got him on the internet. He was not invited to TBN. Kazer Elam, exalted Father, go and I will show you. And then the first principle I kind of touched on it last night, was the principle here that operating is called observation. I did, God is watching you. And we think, all we got to do is quote the word, and everything will be taken care of. And we never consider the dictates and the attitudes of our heart. Can I tell you, after 36 years of ministry, what these last 5 years of sabbatical did for me? I love people. I absolutely couldn't stand you before. Couldn't stand myself. I was a hermit. I didn't want to be around anybody. I realized that prophets are a different kind of ministry. The kind of loners. And I'm broken down. I'm living on my little acre and a half of property. And it's just me, myself, and I. And I said, God, I've got about all. I said, I wish you'd just take me out of here. He said, you're just about as big a coward as Elijah was. You're trying to escape from the reality of what I want to do and birth inside of you. 36 years ago when God showed me what my ministry was all about, and I thought, oh, it was absolutely marvelous. I'm going to be a great man of faith. Hallelujah. I might even make it on television. This is what my forefathers told me. This is what it's all about, boy. Cadillac, big house. What you need. Well, I never had a Cadillac. And I don't have a big house. But I'm just as happy as the lark. Because I know God's with me. So he made Abraham no other promises other than he tells him, I will make of you a great nation. Here's a guy who just came out of idol making. His father was the greatest idol maker in all the nation. They bowed down to worship idols. And the church has been transitioning, coming out of pagan Christianity, because we have formulated in our minds our own idols of what church and what people ought to be.
That's right.
And God is ripping that out. He loves you so much, He won't leave you alone. Amen. He's not going to let you be miserable all by yourself. And He's not going to be miserable with you. Because honey, when He shows up at your doorstep, He's fixing to be Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. He's going to clean everything out. A little humor is good for the soul. I know the knife is cutting.
Then He tells Abby, baby, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a what? Blessing. Look at your name and say, I am a blessing. Now stand up and turn around and look at somebody. I am a blessing. Beat up, put up, shut up. I'm a blessing from God. If God be for me, who can be against me? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, I'm paraphrasing. Paul tells them, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate. And that means mark off your boundaries.
Now I'm going to press on you just a little bit. I'm going to get a little bit deeper. All right?
And he says, the Greek translation says, mark off from other boundaries. Don't become a hermit, saith the Lord, and touch not the things that are fastened. Cleave and adhere to me. No carnal intercourse, no unclean thing, no false ceremonies, no false pretense. And then he drops this on me. Walking in the progressive kingdom, you will have to learn how to sever unhealthy relationships.
I wish he wouldn't have said that. He could have said anything else but that. I could have just put the icing on the cake and say, amen, let's go home. Glory to God.
God progressively brought Abraham to a place. And he's progressively bringing you to a place. And I wasn't going to preach on this morning. God says, you bring this out. There are some of you sitting in this sanctuary. You have not only bought, you've been carrying a leech in your life for a long time. It has become burdensome. It has become a weight. And leeches will suck the very life of God out of you. I want you to notice in this progressive kingdom,
unless you begin to get rid of the strifes and envies of your life, there will be no progressiveness for you. It was not until Abram realized that there was strife between Abram's herds, and I'm paraphrasing because y'all know this story, and Lot's herdsmen. Years ago, God gave me a little thought about this. He said, strife is not my wife. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this, and it was absolutely profound. First sign of strife in the ministry, to get rid of him. Because strife is like cancerous. It spreads throughout the body. I ain't getting no amen, but I'm feeling something in here. And so in walking in this progressive kingdom, you learn to sever unhealthy relationships, and then many other relationships we could get talk about. How about following kingdom protocol? Isaiah has ascended. Turn to Isaiah 59. I'm not quoting verses you never heard of before. I just might be saying some things you ain't never heard of in that way. There's nothing new under the heaven. Only God. His blessings are new every morning. I tell you what I'm enjoying about this. I'm getting my joy back. Man. I'm drinking good wine. I'm a drinker. I'm a wino. Sorry about that. You can't cast it out of me. I'm drinking new wine. It's not addictive. But it is contagious. You hang around me, you might get drunk. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. Where are we? Are we Western civilization? Or do you don't know what civilization you're from? Let me ask you like Crocodile Dundee. Say, what tribe are you from, mate? And his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Does God promise that? Do you believe that? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, he will make a way of escape. For he says, well, there is no temptation taking you but that which is common to man. But he, Jesus, will make a way of escape. Here's why you can't get out of this. If you leave wherever he has you without permission, you're coming back. Full circle. When I closed our church, absolutely blew my fuse. When we reopened, we're just right down the street of where we were when we left. And I looked and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I wanted to move into the south side of town, a more prominent place. No, I'm with the down and outers, the broken fragments, the hurting, the bleeding, the bruised, the left for dead. And this guy's got me all over YouTube. I just don't know yet if we're making a great impact, but to God be the glory.
Early part of the year, when I was talking about the number 12, divine government, I kept hearing this little word, ramify. Ramify. Not ramification. Ramify. The word ramification comes from the root word ramify. I'm going, I better brush up on my grammar and go back to the dictionary and find out what I need. And he said, this year, I want my church to ramify. I said, what?
You can say that like you're down from the side.
Say, what?
It means spread out. You mean we just can't hang around our church buddies all the time? No. Spread yourself out. And then I said, Lord, why do we need to do that now? He said, because the winds are going to begin to intensify. The winds of His Spirit. I was watching a little program the other day. Whether you agree with him or don't agree with him, that's immaterial. On Sid Roth, he's really big on the supernatural. And there's this young man on there. And he got in an accident. The car flipped. I don't know how many times he was thrown out of the vehicle. And the car flew over him and he watched the car fall. And he had two friends with him. And he got radically saved. So him and his buddies are riding down the car one day. And, you know, they've been going to church meeting. And all of a sudden, they're driving down the highway, all three of them. And all of a sudden, they've been transported 3,500 miles. And the kid in the back seat, remember the guy that was out there cutting his lawn because he was his ex-coach. He said, "Hey, I'm back in my hometown. How did we do that?" They turned the corner and they're back on the side where they had started on. And I went, "Whoa, getting too deep now, Lord." Now, you heard of folks been praying that we're going to come to the day where we've been translated.
Yeah.
The same God that met me on the top of the mountain in Missouri. I'm 2 hours late. If you know anything about me, I hate being late with a passion. I'm always jerking. Come on, let's go, let's go. I like to be there half an hour early. But that's just me. So this guy tells me, cut through this mountain, and when you get to the other side, you're going to save at least a half an hour. Well, you know what I did, Brother Kevin? I got lost. I mean, it is pitch dark. I cannot see. But for the headlights of my car, dear Jesus. And His presence fills the car. He said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I'm with you." And the thought came to me. He said, I said, "Lord, did you tell me that you redeemed the time? We're not bound by time. We're bound by eternity." He said, "Yes." I said, "I believe right now, Jesus." Well, I'm going to really lay it on him. The Spirit said, "I believe right now you redeemed my time in Jesus' name. I'm going to get there at least 2-3 hours ahead of time." You better be careful what you say. I got there 2 hours early. Now, I like half an hour. 2 hours. I drove back that same road coming back, and I cannot tell you all these places that I passed. I never saw that. I never saw that. I never saw that. I never saw that. And I thought, I can't go home and tell anybody about this. They've already think I flipped my lid. And other occasions. We live in a real spiritual dimension. And we're going to have to move out of our carnal little finite thinking and begin to think big. Our God is big. We are big. The kingdom is big. And there is absolutely nothing impossible with them that believe.
Amen.
So, saying all that, sometimes we have to separate to compensate. Here's a little nugget for you. You will never truly connect unless you disconnect. If you plug into the same old thing, same old, 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 3 points in a benediction and a song and same old, same old, same old, same old, you're going to end up with the same old, same old, same old thing. Now, ain't that deep? So what the Lord's saying to us this morning, we got to get plugged in to compensate a new wineskin principle. We can't repair the old wineskin, Brother Kevin. We got to allow God to put the new things that He's doing in our lives to walk into a new wineskin dimension. What worked for us yesterday, what worked for us 5 years ago, what worked for us 20 years ago, we're not going to bring it into the kingdom now and have it to compensate what we need to get done. It's not going to work. So I put it this way, very briefly, with my people at Cornerstone Ministry. No patchwork. No quick fix. No instant coffee. Give me the real deal, Lucille. Are you with me? All right. We got that established. To get the full surge of electricity, you have to fully plug into the socket. Is that correct? So kingdom compensation is to be spiritually connected. How do you do that? Begin to train yourself to hear the whispers of God. He's not in a lot of noise. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fires. He's not just in the wind. But He's still, 1 Kings 19, a still, small voice. And when can I know? I'm giving you some practical things. When can I know that I heard from God? When it's 99.9% cross-brained with what you believe, go for it. God is totally cross-grained what you think.
Wasn't that simple? I wish you'd buy the tape. How many people want the tape right now? I'm gonna start. You want a tape? Raise your hand. You want a tape? Raise your hand. Can you imagine? Auctioneers in the church. See, God's standard of preservation, people, is protocol. Standard procedure. First things first. I am the Lord God, and I will have no other gods before me. That's protocol. We don't put our church before God. You can write all the wonderful letters on your marquee, but it doesn't make God come in. You see, God's standard of preservation is protocol. Standard procedure for regulating data. You know, the computer is one of the greatest inventions they've made. But if I told Brother Kevin, I said, type in Rollo in your computer. He said, what? Put Rollo in the computer, and the computer says, no such data. It provides for you what you put in it. Your mind is like a computer. It will provide the data if you put the right data in it. Data right or data wrong? Got it? That's good English, America. I know I'm messing up your English grammar, but help me anyway. So, this is what happens. How much more time we got? Y'all want out of here at 12 o'clock? I got a lot more I can say. Protocol will keep you from your pitfalls. Say that with me. Protocol will keep me from my pitfalls. It's an amazing thing as I travel the country at different times. And people say, man, I have been in such a pit. And so God gave me a message. Don't quit in the pit. It's up there, back there somewhere. I talked about it last night. Your pit is designed to take you to your destiny. And the prophetess came here and said, y'all need to quit mully grubbing. Where did she get that? Oh. Has the church been mully grubbing? Have we been complaining or muttering? We do. Realizing or failing to realize there's an eternal King standing before us and going, I'm watching you and I'm hearing you. And when promotion comes, he's looking for that little darling. I just plant her feet. Women, I don't mean plant your feet and get rebellious. I mean plant your feet and stand in that righteous position and absolutely believe God. No matter what comes. Say no matter what comes. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Then you've had enough for today. Let me talk to you briefly in closing. I want to end with this because it has caused so many problems in the church and has hindered people from developing into the kingdom. It's called confronting in the kingdom a Saul mentality. Saul was a great king. Saul was a man. He did manly things and he did stupid things. And you know the story between Saul and David. Well, Saul's kingdom is coming down. That means an end of an age. Are you with me? And a new kingdom is being developed. The little shepherd boy tending snotty, stinking little sheep with a shepherd's staff who could play the harp, which is a prophetic instrument that would absolutely drive the evil spirits away from Saul. But the minute he quit playing, they all came back. And that is in reference to a kingdom ending and a new kingdom being born. David, which is Davidic, brings to us a perfect picture of a prophetic kingdom that is marching through this land with a prophetic voice. We are not afraid to say what God is saying in present day reality. Saul, therefore, speaks of the old traditional, old carnal church, old institutionalized church, who has manipulated, controlled us, and given us leftovers week after week after week after week till we get to the point where we want to just absolutely vomit because there's no more life. And it wasn't bad enough while Saul is trying to kill David God's got a plan. Everybody say, God's got a plan. David is being anointed by Samuel to become king of Israel while Saul is plotting to kill him. God always has the upper hand. So when you think you're facing death and you're at your wit's end, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And so God is going to begin to remove the Sauls from the podiums of the churches in America.
Amen.
And going to bring to the forefront a Davidic anointed psalmist preacher that will absolutely help you to bask in the presence of El Shaddai, the Almighty God.
Remember, God is the all-breasted one. He's both father and mother. And if all you have to eat spiritually is leftover food, you will always consider a leftover generation, not being able to advance in the kingdom. Because the seasons have shifted and we have supposed to be already prepared to move into our new season in the new wineskin. You with me? Because we are now living in a progressive kingdom. Should the Lord tarry just a few more years, we must be prepared when He will just break through that eastern sky and they will sound the alarm. Behold, the King is coming! It's too late to prepare then. We must be a people with audacity and tenacity to be prepared to face whatever situation we're willing to face. And the American people, at its very core, are people who still believe in the home of the brave and the land of the free. And may I provoke you to think about 2 Chronicles 7:14 at least once a day and pray, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. He'll remove the wickedness. He'll heal the land. If we can absolutely begin to saturate the kingdom of heaven with God's pronunciation of the blessings upon our country, we can see our country turn. I want to close with this. Our country, there's an aisle in this church, is divided. And so is the church. And God wants to bring her back together. We serve a jealous God. And He will not play second fiddle to anybody else. And I pray that I have not been too hard on you, but to provoke and to make you aware there is more to Christianity than just sitting in a pew, taking a few notes, and feeling good about your duty that you performed on Sunday. And there is a whole vast world, and all your surroundings, and all your atmosphere, and all the arena around you belongs to you. The land belongs to His people. And therefore, we must possess the land, and we must possess our soul, and we must take on the helm of the salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, having our feet shod with the preparation of peace, and march through the land like we are King's kids.
Amen. We're not leftovers, bump overs, frogged over, dogged over. We are King's kids. And God loves us no matter what you're facing. His love never ends.
I know this was a little bit different setting this morning, but I believe if you'll stand to your feet for just a moment, I want you to do similar to a little bit to what we did last night. I want you to raise your hands and reach out to the heavenlies. And I want you to pull down out of the heavenlies, this is prophetic, whatever you need from God, I want you to reach out and touch the one who is able to not only save you, He's able to keep you, He's able to deliver you, He's able to fill you, He's able to bless you. whatever you need in your private moment with God right now. Say, Lord, I look into the heaven from where my help comes from. And I pull down from the heavenly that which I need in my life to walk in this progressive kingdom. Help me, God. Give me the goods. Give me the gift. Give me the talent. Give me the opportunity. Give me the mindset. Give me the intellectualism. Give me everything I need to take this kingdom for God. So now, fathers, with our hands lifted up, we bless your people in the name of Jesus. Blessed in the city, we're blessed in the house. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His countenance to shine upon you. The Lord give you His grace and His peace. And the Lord heal you in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. So be it. Give the Lord a good clap offering.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. I don't know if they're ready to serve you or not,
but we're going to go ahead and bless the food. Father, we thank you for the food that you have prepared for us to feast and to eat today. We pray that you were sanctified by your word and caused it to be nourishment to our body, to give us strength, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. And the people said, Amen. And as we say in French country, allons manger. Let's go eat.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.